You're listening to SBS News.
Victoria's Chief Health Officer, Professor Brett Sutton, says contact tracing under his watch at least meets the national guidelines and sometimes goes above and beyond them.
We are following casual contacts and we're asking them to test when they've been exposed at exposure sites. So we are doing an approach that is the same across Australia, at least at the minimum level as defined in the national guidelines, and above and beyond that.
Victoria's opposition believes the state would have been able to reopen more of its economy by now if there was better contact tracing. Opposition leader Michael O'Brien moved a motion of no confidence in Premier Daniel Andrews, saying the people of Victoria deserve to know the truth.
Victorians want answers, Speaker. They demand answers. They're entitled to answers, Speaker, because Victorians have been the ones to pay the price for this government's failure.
Speaking at his daily coronavirus briefing, Daniel Andrews described Michael O'Brien's attacks as cheap politics.
Again, I'll just make the point, he and the cheap politics that he trades in is of no consequence when it comes to fighting this virus. His cheap politics is not a vaccine against this virus.
Victoria recorded 12 new infections and an additional death, which has taken the number of people to die in the state from coronavirus to 811. The national figure is 899. Victoria's Education Minister, James Molino, has announced a $250 million scheme to recruit more than 4,000 tutors into schools to help students who have struggled during remote learning.
So this is small group tutoring, individual support, and all the evidence, international and domestic, shows that this is the best way to get the biggest difference in bringing kids back up to speed.
New South Wales had 13 new cases, including 7 cases of community transmission, with the 6 others being returned travellers in hotel quarantine. 5 of the locally acquired infections are members of the same household in southwestern Sydney. One day after Gladys Berejiklian's appearance before the Independent Commission Against Corruption, the state announced an easing of some of its restrictions. From Friday, businesses using an electronic QR code to maintain records will be allowed to have one patron for every 2 square metres in outdoor areas. The changes will enable up to 500 people to attend an outdoor seated musical performance. Health Minister Brad Hazzard says more restrictions will gradually be lifted.
What we're actually doing here is making sure that we bring back life to New South Wales. And I would certainly say to the community and to others who want to see more that there will be more done, but it must be done in a COVID-safe way. We have got 7 new cases. It's a timely reminder that we actually will be conscious of the fact that everything still has to be done in a COVID-safe way. But the way forward is actually very positive.
Tasmania will be reopening to people from South Australia, Western Australia, Queensland, the Northern Territory and the ACT on October the 26th, with all arrivals subject to temperature checks. Premier Peter Gutwin says health officials are closely monitoring the situation in New South Wales, but he says Tasmania's borders will stay shut to Victorians until at least December.
We won't put Tasmanians at risk, and the health, safety and wellbeing of Tasmanians is the first and foremost thought in our minds. And in terms of Victoria, certainly for the time being, Victoria will remain closed to Tasmania.
Tasmania was the first jurisdiction in Australia to shut its borders and last recorded a COVID-19 case around 2 months ago. And in WA, 7 crew from an iron ore carrier that arrived from the Philippines have now tested positive. The vessel is currently anchored off the coast of Port Hedland. It's the second time in 2 weeks that a ship has arrived from Manila with infected crew members. And you can stay up to date on the coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Greg Diet, SBS News.